Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters, keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, we chat with Michelle Hand from the Wood Buffalo Food Bank on the upcoming Spring Food Drive. We also hear from Jason Schilling, the president of the Alberta Teachers Association, on a concerning report regarding aggression in classrooms. And lastly, Sherry Hins from Threads of Life joins us to talk about the upcoming Steps for Life walk coming up in Fort McMurray. Joining me on the phone here today, Michelle Hand, the Communications and Development Manager for Wood Buffalo Food Bank. Michelle, how's it going?
Great, and yourself?
Doing well. Michelle, the Spring Food Drive is coming up. What are some details that we should know?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've changed our volunteer sign-up this year to make it a little bit more user-friendly. So for people that have signed up with us last year, just be aware that it is a little bit different. Hopefully it'll be easier than previous years. But we're still going to be out on the 27th and 28th at all the local grocery stores, as well as Anzac, at the end of the month here. So we're going to stock our shelves and be able to serve families for the, for the spring.
Do you have a goal for this year's food drive?
Yeah, so we're at $30,000, $35,000, and 50,000 pounds of food is the goal.
That's good to hear, Michelle. How important are food drives like this for the food bank?
Oh, incredibly important. A couple years ago, this is our 10th spring food drive. There used to be a time that our one food drive would be able to sort of stock our shelves for, almost the year. But now our food drives only lasts about 3 months. So, along with all of the, donations that we get at the grocery stores, these food drives really top us up and allow us to continue to serve families throughout the year.
How have the donations been at the food bank lately?
As far as donations, it really is telling of the times, but there are some really generous people in Fort McMurray. We're very blessed to have a community that really stands and rallies for one another. So donations have kind of been a little bit lower, but of course I think that's just because food prices are so super expensive right now that everyone is really just trying to feed their own family.
For sure. Maybe give us some examples of different food donation items that you're looking for during this food drive.
Absolutely. So we're always looking for our pre-made soups. So think like your chunky soups, that sort of thing. Those ones are great because it really is an entire meal for someone. So it has your protein, it has your vegetables, and it's nice and quick and easy for families to use, as well as some dinner kits. Think about your taco kits, fajita kits, that sort of thing. Those are always really great. Again, it's another one of those options that a family can just, they don't have to think too much about it, and it's just a nice, quick, easy option for a family. As well as we're always looking for some of those other things that you don't always think about. So laundry detergents or diapers, baby formula, that sort of thing. Those are always really great options to make sure that, all of the members of our community are being served.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Michelle, and, talking about things that people can donate that folks may not think is, top of mind. How important is getting some of those donations this time around?
Oh, incredibly important. So we have seen in the last couple of months, we're now serving about 1,000 families a month down here, which is the highest that we have seen it, even throughout, our fires or our floods. This right now, these months are the highest we've ever seen it. So it is really important that if you're able to help to be able to donate, it really will make a huge difference. And if you're not able to donate, with food than just donating your time. Come down, come volunteer with us. You know, it's hopefully going to be a really nice weekend, and it's great to be able to come down with your family, your friends, your coworkers, spend a couple hours of your day giving back to the community.
I know you mentioned laundry detergent and baby formula might be two big things that people may not think of, but what are some other examples that you know, the food bank would take to give to families in need?
Absolutely. So we're, you know, cleaning supplies is really good. There's some of those things like coffee or tea that for a lot of people you might think is it's a bit of a luxury, but I think that every family, you know, deserves that little extra boost. So we're always looking for those coffees and teas, some extra cleaning supplies, anything that you would personally go and purchase at a grocery store, we want to be able to give out to our families as well.
For sure. What's next for the food bank after this spring food drive?
Oh my gosh. So we have some really exciting things coming up. We're actually going to have the Fort McMurray Giants have really graciously come on board as a sponsor for our spring food drive. I can't tell you too much about it, but they'll be out and about helping us out this weekend. Or on the spring food drive weekend, the 27th and 28th. And then, of course, we're going to have our Empty Bowls Festival this summer. We have a golf tournament. And, of course, we're going to be bringing back the Haunting of Fort McMurray in October, bigger and better than ever.
Sounds good, Michelle. If people can't make it for the food drive coming up here this month, how can they support the food bank?
Absolutely. So we're always looking for volunteers to come down and donate their time, as well as if you're not here for the weekend and you still want to donate, every single grocery store has a donation bin. And the next time you go and do your groceries, we'd love if you just dropped off a donation for us in one of those bins as well.
Michelle Hand, Communications and Development Manager for Wood Buffalo Food Bank. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, not at all. I just appreciate your time, Ryan.
Awesome, Michelle. Thank you so much for yours. And again, looking forward to that food drive coming up at the end of the month.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. We'll be back with more after the break.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Jason Schilling, the Alberta Teachers Association president. Jason, how's it going here today?
I'm doing well today. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. Alberta teachers are experiencing more aggression in schools. The obvious question here, is this really concerning?
Yes, we've seen an uptick in the amount of aggression that my colleagues are experiencing in their classrooms across the province. We did an initial study in 2019 and then re-surveyed our members through the course of this last year and have seen an increase in aggressive behavior that needs to be addressed by government and school boards. And we wanted to call the alarm on what we're seeing with our members.
Where's this aggression coming from, you feel?
Well, there's a couple of things that we're seeing right now in terms of schooling. And the first one is that we're one of the lowest funded school districts in all of Canada. So we're seeing increasing in class sizes, large class size numbers, as less time for teachers to work one-on-one with students to help students if they are starting to deregulate themselves to make sure that they are keeping themselves on track. We're seeing a lack of supports for students with special needs or behavioral needs. We need more teachers in classrooms. We need more educational assistance. We need more resources to deal with those supports for those students with behavioral needs, including mental health supports as well. We've seen post-pandemic an increase in the needs of mental health needs for our students and for our members as well. And there has to be some extra support there to to help teachers with that. And that comes through funding through the government to address those needs as well. We're also seeing, too, as well, that some of the things that we're seeing in society in general, teachers are hearing, you know, disrespectful comments around to us, LGBTQ plus issues, race issues, the pandemic, climate, those are coming into our classrooms as well.
This aggression in the classroom doesn't just impact the teacher personally. It also impacts the classroom as a whole, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I've talked to members who, you know, have relayed stories to me of how they've been verbally accosted. They've been, you know, students have tried to intimidate them. They've been hit, punched, had noses broken, bones broken. But sometimes we have students who become deregulated, and then they start throwing things in the classroom, and teachers have had to evacuate their classrooms. That affects and disrupts the whole entire school day for those students and for that teacher as well, trying to get the situation under control and calm everybody down and then try to refocus on learning. And that sometimes is very difficult to do through the course of the day, especially when teachers don't have the supports that they need in their classrooms.
There's also more hateful and demeaning remarks being used at school. According to the report, 71% of the teachers and school leaders are indicating they've witnessed students engaging in that behavior. What are these topics largely about?
Well, again, that's where I go back to what they're hearing is they're around certain issues that we see in society, like 2S LGBTQ plus issues, race issues, but just general sort of lack of empathy and compassion right now in terms of working with teachers. They don't want to do something that the teacher is asking them to do, or they're annoyed with something else. And one of the things that we identified, you know, in our study, not only is some of the stats of what's happening and why it's happening, but some of the solutions that we can see working towards trying to address this issue head on. And we need all education partners to be involved in that work. And that would be to make sure that we have the resources in place for students and for their families within their community to make sure that we're addressing concerns before they become aggressive behavior.
Obviously, this is concerning, but where do you feel this division comes from?
That's a great question, and I think that we're seeing it in a variety of different ways, that we see that schools are overworked. Staff have so many students in their classrooms with the lack of support that they need in order to address all of their students' needs, and that pressure just keeps building up, and if students are feeling like their needs aren't being met, they'll act out to try to get attention, and we need to be able to address those needs. And like I said, we need government, school boards, the ATA, parents, all working together to address these concerns so that we can make sure that our schools are safe and caring places for everybody, and that it's a place where students are having their learning optimized.
Obviously, school funding is a major issue, and we've touched on that here today, but what else can be done to help address this aggression in schools?
We also, as part of our survey, we did ask our members what were some of the solutions that they saw that they would recommend moving forward. And obviously, addressing the systemic issues that we see in terms of underfunding and understaffing is key. Also, providing professional development for teachers in order to help them de-escalate situations. A lot of my colleagues who teach at the elementary level will take non-violent crisis intervention programs. I've always taught high school, so I've never had that kind of training before in the past. Also making sure that we prioritize student and staff safety, and that school boards create and establish consistent and fair discipline protocols that they put into place that everybody is aware of and that are enacted. And we know that teachers sometimes, the paperwork that's around an incident report can sometimes be quite cumbersome, and we need to make it so that reporting these incidences and having them treated fairly and consistently is something that happens as well. Our members have expressed disappointment that, you know, they might file a complaint, but nothing really happens with it, and we need to start seeing that action happen with that as well.
What are the next steps for the Alberta Teachers Association with this report?
Well, we've met with government to talk about this. They've got a copy of our report and had some initial conversations about what we see in terms of the solutions. We took the solutions that teachers indicated in this report and from our study from 2019. So we'll have to see government first. I'd like to see them recognize publicly that this is a problem that we're seeing within our schools, and then start working with the education partners to address these concerns immediately.
And what's your message to school parents in light of this report?
You know, it's interesting. We all have a role and a part to play in making sure that everybody feels safe and cared for at school, and that to continue to work with their schools and their school communities on things that their students need, but also to keep advocating as parents, have a strong voice with government to make sure that their students' needs or their child's needs are being met at school. And if they're not, they need to advocate with government as well, with their MLAs, about why there's such a chronic underfunding of our public school system.
Jason Schilling, the president of the Alberta Teachers Association. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, I think that's about it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Jason Schilling, for once again joining us today on Fort McMurray Matters. We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters.
We're back to Fort McMurray Matters.
Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.
Thanks for joining us on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Sherry Hinz. She is the Threads of Life Regional Development Coordinator for Western Canada. Sherry, how's it going here today?
Great. Great, Ryan. How about yourself?
Doing well. Got you on the show today to chat about Steps for Life. So just quickly here, what is Steps for Life?
Steps for Life is a fun 5K awareness fundraising walk, walking for families of workplace tragedy, and it showcases the personal impact of a workplace tragedy. It's an event where families can meet other families who've suffered similar pain and loss, and helps raise awareness of the national issue of workplace injuries, illnesses, and deaths, and essentially brings an opportunity for the community to come together and support those that have been impacted by workplace tragedy, and really focus on the importance of health and safety in the workplace.
How long has Steps for Life been running in Fort McMurray?
In Fort McMurray, the event this year will be their 13th Steps for Life walk in the community, so that's an awesome achievement, a testament to the volunteers that we have in Fort McMurray that are putting the walk together. And over the 13 years that they've had the walk in Fort McMurray, they've raised close to $175,000 in support of Threads of Life and our programs and services that we offer to families. So it's a great event that they've been hosting in the community for sure.
There's obviously the fundraising side, but how important is the awareness side for Steps for Life and this cause?
Definitely. Our organization, Threads of Life, we bring hope and healing to Canadian families who have been impacted by workplace fatality, life-altering injury, or that occupational illness. As a national charity that supports more than 3,600 family members across the country through our one-on-one peer support programs, our links to community support services, it's really important to, raise that awareness surrounding the impact of workplace tragedy and how it ripples out into the community. It goes beyond the individuals and families. It goes to coworkers, first responders, and the community at large. So, really making sure the awareness is brought to the impact of that and looking to raise funds to support the individuals and families that we serve is super important.
And as you mentioned, Steps for Life supports Threads of Life. Maybe just give us a few more details about what Threads of Life does.
Well, we're a national charity, like I mentioned. We provide family support services to individuals and families that have been impacted by workplace tragedy. We also work in partnership with a number of organizations to help, continue to raise awareness about the importance of workplace safety. And, we do involve ourselves in community action as well through our Speakers Bureau program. But programs like our volunteer family guide programs that provide one-on-one peer support to individuals, our sort of our signature program. We've also got newsletter offerings, virtual supports, services on a monthly basis that way, our family forums that take place across the country, and those are offered in Atlantic, Central, and Western Canada as well. So all of those things combined really help to support individuals that have gone through a workplace tragedy.
And how does Threads of Life raise awareness about workplace safety and the importance of preventing those workplace tragedies from happening?
That's a really great exposure and key piece through our Speakers Bureau. Our Speakers Bureau, that consists of volunteers, individuals that have actually been impacted by workplace tragedy who have reached the point in their healing journey where they're ready to give back and share their story in an effort to promote that injury prevention and build that safety culture. They'll go into post-secondary institutions, into schools, into workplaces, and share their messages. Just so that, others can hear that and, in the hope that no one else has to go through what they've experienced themselves.
What are some common challenges faced by families affected by workplace tragedies, and how does Threads of Life address these challenges?
Well, certainly there's, immediate supports available to families that have experienced a tragedy. You know, there's employee assistance programs and crisis support and things like that. But, Threads of Life was created to fill a major gap in Canada's health and safety and social systems. Back when we originally started in 2003, there was no helpline to call or a place to go to find that emotional support and caring that's often required to make it through the aftermath of a workplace fatality or a serious injury or illness. So, when life goes back to quote unquote normal for everyone else, that's often when families will find us. They need to know that there's others that have gone through what they've experienced. And that's where our Family Guide program comes into play. People that have, again, reached that point in the healing journey where they're ready to give back and become a volunteer family guide can help support families who are unfortunately new to a workplace incident, workplace tragedy, and are just starting down that road. They can be matched with someone like a volunteer family guide who can provide them with that peer support, that one-on-one support. And it's someone that knows exactly what they're going through because they've gone through it themselves. Our family forum, for example, gives people a safe space to come together, and they know they're among others that have experienced the same thing they have as well. So I think that's some of the real challenges for families, that isolation, that loneliness, and that ongoing need for support because, grief and dealing with the impact and the change in their life, it doesn't end, right? It continues on daily for forever. So they need to have access to supports and programs that can help them work through those challenges.
When it comes to Steps for Life, the event coming up in Fort McMurray, how can people get involved?
Well, definitely they can become involved as a walker. We'd love to have people come out and join us on the day of the event on May 4th. And if they're not able to make it, they can donate and support that way as well. So they can go to stepsforlife.ca, click on locations, select Fort McMurray, and they can register to walk with us on May the 4th. Or they can choose to support us through a donation and just share the word, right? The more awareness that we have about our organization, Threads of Life, the fact that we exist and that we're here to support families and individuals, that's really key as well. But definitely go to stepsforlife.ca. Hope to see everyone joining us as a walker on May the 4th in Fort McMurray.
Great stuff, Sherry. And how else can people get involved with Threads of Life or support the cause?
Definitely, we have opportunities for people in the community, whether it's an individual who's looking to be a volunteer. There's always volunteer opportunities with our organization, whether it's, becoming involved in the planning committee for a Steps for Life event, being a community engagement volunteer, helping on the day of the event as well. Partners in terms of organizations, there's definitely opportunity to share information among their internal newsletter channels with their staff and with their partners as well in their businesses. It's just really great to have the opportunity to get the word out and increase that awareness about the importance of workplace health and safety and let people know about Threads of Life and the fact that we are here to support individuals and families in the long run. So,
Sherry Hinz, the Threads of Life Regional Development Coordinator for Western Canada. Anything else you'd like to add here today?
No, I just really want to thank Harvard Media for the support for our Fort McMurray Walk event as a media sponsor. It's great to have you on board in that respect. And again, to all of our sponsors and partners and the walkers who've registered and everybody who's donated thus far, we aren't able to be successful without the support of individuals and businesses in the communities that we work with. So thank you to everyone, and look forward to seeing everyone out at the walk on May the 4th in Fort McMurray.
Well, we're looking forward to it, Sherry. Thank you so much for the time here today.
Thank you, Ryan.
That was our show for today. Big thank you to my three guests for joining me today. We have another jam-packed show for you ready to go for tomorrow, so hope you can join us for that. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Thanks for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. Have a great day.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this or any past episodes? Download the podcast at play1037.ca. Brought to you by Cooper & Company Law Firm and Fort McMurray Orthodontics.
On Play 103.